You know what's the scariest part of October? Being vulnerable to cyber criminals. That's why this Cyber Scaries Month, you need Webroot Total Protection. With all-in-one protection for your devices, privacy, and identity, Webroot Total Protection helps defend every part of your digital life. Change your October from cyber scary to cyber secure with 60% off Webroot Total Protection at www.webroot.com/audio. That's 60% off for a limited time, but only when you go to www.webroot.com/audio.
Everybody, and welcome to Final Femme. This is our next Chompers episode. We recorded the first one and it got pretty good feedback, so we're going to keep doing this. I think every couple episodes we're going to record a Chompers episode. And if you didn't listen to the last one, it's basically going to be Jack, Grant, and I discussing horror books we've been reading or movies we've been watching, music or video games or just whatever comes to mind. We're just going to be chatting about what we've been getting up to lately. So just listen along and enjoy. So, hi, Jack and Grant. How are you guys doing today?
Hello, Sid. Again.
How are you? We're doing pretty good. Grant, it's good to have you. I mean, that's me. Shit.
Grant, Jack, it's good to have
Jack,
you.
Jack, it's good to have you.
It's good to have you too, Grant.
You were out scrounging up producers last time.
I bagged a bunch. We're nice. Good for the next set of episodes.
Okay. Excellent. Love that for us.
I mean, I got to feed them in the bag, but you know, as long as they stay alive, we got enough for the next episodes.
Cool. Right,
so got some millet or some kind of ground feed in that bag?
Oh, as cheap as we can get. Bread.
Of course. Yeah. Bird food.
National bread, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, God. All right. Well, Jack, since you weren't here for the last episode, I'm probably gonna kick us off. I don't know about you guys, but on Halloween, I have a tradition where I usually, if I don't have something to go to, I'll just watch a couple movies and get some pizza. So I watched some of the newer horror movies that came out recently. I watched two new ones. I watched The Long Walk, which I don't know if either of you have seen that one.
Mm-mm.
Okay. It's
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it. No.
Okay. Well, you know, it's like it's an old Stephen King book. It was still under his penman name of Richard Bachman. And I think he wrote that one in, in 79. Sorry. I think he was 79 or 69. It was around like when the Vietnam War was happening or just ended or something like that. And it was kind of in response to it. And it's basically these 16 to 18 year old kids who like they're living in a dystopian society. So basically you sign up for the long walk and you're walking down in the book. It's 100 in the movie. It's 50, but you're walking down all these other people and they're basically walking through the state of Maine. And whoever wins at the end of the long walk wins a ton of money and a wish. But like Stephen King does this really well in his horror where basically even if there's supernatural stuff, the horror is always other people. And this book was a really good character study because you get to know people and each person gets three warnings. You have to stay at 3 miles per hour while you're walking and they're walking day, night. There's no bathroom stops. You just have to keep walking. So like if you hit three warnings, you're going to get your ticket. And it's kind of like the idea of everyone knows what the ticket is, but they don't think it's real until they're walking. And the first person gets his third warning and the ticket is just the military shoots him in the head and you have to keep walking. And so it's, it's good. It's dark, but it's good. And in the movie,
I was just going to say, it sounds like a pre-Squid Game kind of scenario.
Squid Games, Hunger Games, like this inspired a lot of people, I think. So in the movie, you've got Mark Hamill plays the general who like kicks everything off.
Nice.
Because he likes to play the villain. And then you've got Cooper Hoffman, who was Philip Seymour Hoffman's son, is one of the leads. And then David Johansson or Johnson or something, he did a really good job. And they changed a couple things in the movie. Like, they do tweak the ending. It's a little less nihilistic, but it still works. I didn't mind it like I thought I would. It's good. It's, if anyone's going to see it, I would warn you that there are sad parts. I actually did cry a little bit at one of the deaths, but I highly recommend that one. That was a good one. It's like, okay, a couple hours long.
No one was like walking their dog though, right?
No one's walking their dog.
Okay. Because that would, that would get some tears out of me. I'd feel bad.
There are no animals, but I will say Judy Greer is also in this, and she plays like the mom of the main character. Yeah.
Nice.
And so since they're walking through his home state, the mom shows up at one of the towns, and he sees her, and you can see how easy it is for people to get like their third warning, because he runs and he wants to hug her, and they're like, warning, warning number 47, second warning, warning, and he's on his third warning, and she's screaming. Jeez. She's like, go, go, because she doesn't want to see him get like shot to death in front of her.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of people say it's like an analogy for, you know, because it's voluntary, but it's kind of like the same idea as like kid, like men back then signing up for the war because you're supposed to. And it's the idea of going over there and everyone's in a good mood. And then the reality of war starts to sink in. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. I recommend it a lot.
Yeah. All right. I mean, really, anything Stephen King, it's...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And even if you don't want to see the movie, I would recommend the book.
Do you think the ending, like, you said it didn't really bother you too much, but, like, that seems like a pretty drastic...
did you look it up? ...nihilist
version. No, no, no.
No.
I will read it, Sid.
Okay.
Like, what do you think of, like, the ending first, not just this book, but, like, any book versus movie... being changed drastically, how does that affect your how you view that?
I understand why they changed it in this one, because like I said, the book ending is very nihilistic, and they changed this ending to make it more cinematic, which was annoying. What I don't like is when it still stuck with like the spirit of the book though, for the most part. So what I don't like is when they change the ending and it completely changes the meaning of the book or the spirit of the book. Mm-hmm. Or like,
right.
Like, I don't know if you guys saw The Mist or read The Mist. Again, Stephen King, but they completely changed that fucking ending. And it's, that made me mad. Or The Shining, which Jack and I will scrap about at some point, because that shit has a big change.
That's Jack, a different movie and a different book.
Jack and I have differing opinions on The Shining, and we might save that for a special episode, because it's going to be a battle. Night.
We are
going to talk about it at some point.
And that could be the end of Jack and Sid as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool.
What about,
very neat.
Amazing. I'm trying to think of how many books to movies would this make then for Stephen King?
For Stephen King?
It's crazy the amount.
A lot.
It's crazy the amount of his books have been to movies. Like, he's got to be double digits easy, right? Well,
because like, there's Carrie, there's Christine, there's Cujo, there's The Shining, there's It a couple times. There's Storm of the Century.
Twice, I guess, which was
just a screenplay. Yeah. That's true. They've made some of them into miniseries.
Maximum Overdrive?
Like Under the Dome. Maximum Overdrive, yeah. Yeah, they've taken some of the short stories, too, and made them into movies.
Man. Yeah.
There's more. Running Man, which I think they're redoing.
Got a remake coming out of that one.
The Institute they made into a show. Yeah.
Okay. God, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot. Insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has to be the most prolific author to movie.
Gotta be.
Person out there. So.
And he's inspired so many people. Mm-hmm. And then Dr. Mm-hmm. Sleep got made into a movie.
Yeah, the spinoff. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot.
Crazy. So that was your spooky read for the
spooky movie. I also watched Weapons because I did a two-parter for Halloween. Did y'all see Weapons?
Oh, yeah.
No,
that was a ride.
Weapons was by the same guy who did The Fucking Barbarian.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see about that.
Director?
Yeah, same director.
Yeah.
I have thoughts about Weapons. Grant, it sounds like you might too. I feel like our thoughts might be different.
Well, check over my ears.
No. Spoilers? No, I won't spoil anything, but like, I didn't like about Weapons I like the beginning. I like that we get different POVs. I could not stand the child narration in the beginning. I put her on mute and put on subtitles because she was irritating as shit. I don't want to hear some fucking kid talking to me for 10 minutes. Get to the plot. And then the teacher was annoying. But otherwise, you're going through different POVs because 20 kids disappear from a classroom. So now it's like, what happened? And you're trying to piece it together. That was interesting. I liked that. But once we find out the twist, which I won't spoil here, because it's still a new movie, I didn't love it. And then the violence is fucking over the top. And it feels like a lot of horror movies
now are into it.
A lot of horror movies now are just into style and violence. And the story gets lost. I didn't feel like the actual story was that good.
Ooh.
And I don't know how you feel about it, Grant. So what are your thoughts?
I mean, to take like a very almost tried trope of what the villain is, I guess, without revealing too much.
Right.
You know, they took it to a different, it felt very like it was like the Crash of horror movies. Like, do you remember Crash was this old movie where they took a lot of multiple stories that weaved together that all had to... So it was very much
I can't fucking stand that movie.
Yeah, but... and I get why they did it, because it prolonged the reveal.
Yeah.
But I think the climax of the movie, I think, was...
bad?
It was enjoyable to watch. It was so over the
top. Was
it? And just extreme. I, you know, to see just a sea of things and crashing and windows breaking, it was.
I got so mad.
It was a lot, and I was not expecting it. So I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay. I kept fast forwarding near the end. I was like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
I did hear, though, is that along to your point of there wasn't, because they did, like, it was the reveal and that was it. There was no explanation, no story, no backstory. It sounds like they're going a la X and everything else. So they're going to do a prequel movie all about the aunt and other escapades that she may have gotten up to is what I had heard. So...
I think that's my biggest point, or my biggest issue, my biggest issue with it was the lead up to the reveal is interesting. It kept my attention I was like, okay, where is this going? But then when you get to the actual reveal, I'm like, oh, so if you had to prolong your reveal that much, like, you don't have much of an actual story here. But you know, that's just me.
It worked for you. If they told it in a linear fashion, it probably would have been a very shorter movie.
But, true.
You know, it was, I don't know. I think as far as quality, not necessarily quality, but like uniqueness in horror movies, it definitely had that. Like it was definitely trying a lot of new things, trying to tell a story in a different way. But yeah. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good time. There were definitely a lot of points where I actually winced. And, you know, I'm not an easy person to wince when I'm watching something on a movie. So, there is some extreme
gratuitous violence. Uh-huh. But also, forks. Why did they all run like with the forks? God. Why do they all run like Naruto with their fucking stupid ass arms flying out behind them? Stupid.
It's the only way kids know how to run these days.
And the adults did it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. And I guess, why they chose that, I don't know. But again, it was interesting to see that build up. Because again, you see the kids do it and you're thinking, I don't know, kids are just doing weird running movements.
Stupid running.
But then when you start seeing everyone else do it, you're like, all right. There's something going on here. There's a connection. Grown adults don't run like Naruto.
That's true. maybe it was. That's a good point to be like, oh, okay, this person's also, something's wrong with them too.
I mean, the blood on the face didn't help either, and the bulging eyes.
So gross. That movie's so gross.
Okay.
Chime in,
Jack. Non-Jack movie. Fuck this movie. Yeah. I don't even know what it's about. I don't care. I've never seen it. Don't want to see it.
It's, I don't think Barbarian, you're gonna like so it.
It's not up your alley.
No.
I don't think so. Unless I'm forced to.
It's okay.
In this podcast.
I'm not watching that shit again. That's true. Fuck that.
Wow.
Absolutely not.
Sid, do you know what my pick is for next movie?
What?
Whatever you said.
No. Can't even remember the name. You're just like, whatever this was.
Just trying to block it out. Name
it's like everything. generic title for a movie. It's very
weird. Weapons. Yes. Very stupid.
Weapons.
The only other movie, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited to see it, is going to be Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein. I've heard really good things about it. Mm. And I love him. He's great. So.
Yeah. A little del Toro creepy, you know. What was it? I saw something akin to or likening Del Toro to, you know, hiding in a cupboard and writing, you know, romance novels from some woman who wants some deep, creepy, gothic horror monster movie to make out with. And I'm like,
tracks. Hmm. That tracks for him.
It's a little bit. It does.
I've seen a lot of interviews with. I've seen a lot of interviews with him recently where they're talking about, like, his home and his home library and stuff. And he's got, like, a made-to-life statue of, like, Boris Karloff's head as Frankenstein just, like, in his living room and just weird shit. And then he's got this beautiful gothic library. And I'm like, God, I just kind of want to be your friend. You seem weird and fun.
The kind of person you want to be invited to a dinner party with.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not live in that for your life, but certainly experience it at some point.
Mm-hmm. At least once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Jack, what have you been watching lately?
Ha!
Or reading or listening to?
Well, let's go more to that. Well, okay. Yeah. So I will say I did watch, I went down memory lane. Lame? Oh, God. That's not good. That's not good. Sorry. Lane.
Okay.
I watched Billy Madison not too long ago, and then the first two Austin Powers. So you can see where my movie directions are, audience. Okay. More for the comedy.
Doyle Rules.
Doyle Rules, and thank God that whole family died. Fuck them.
Oh, Doyle Rules.
I love banana peels. That's what I'm going to say. Donkey Kong Forever. So watch those two. I mean, obviously, there's not much to say. They've been out forever. I'm sure everyone has seen that, but they're comedies. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
Reading. I read Churchill and the Generals, which is written by Barry Pitt. It basically just explains Churchill's relationship with his generals, his British generals, Alexander, Brooke, Wavell, and Montgomery, as they like faced all these disasters. And it was like, I think it was written after, but it was tied in with Churchill and the Generals, the BBC television drama in 79. So it has like some kind of tie to that, but it kind of explains how like his relationship with them. And it was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of got on a kick with that. And I went to Splendid and the Vile by Eric Larson, which
I've heard of that
really
one.
Just recounts. Oh yeah. It's great. Nonfiction book. It recounts the first year that Churchill is prime minister. So it explains how he is gearing the British people up to really come together and repel the Nazis or at least stand up to the Nazi, the Blitz and all that stuff. So, so far it's been very interesting. So I really like that. The other thing I've been doing, which I've been doing for a long time, is playing Balatro. It's a video game. I have it on my phone, which is fucking, it's just not good for my mental health or it's good for my mental health, not good for my productive health. but it's essentially a roguelike deck building game. It's based on the rules of poker.
Okay.
So you choose a deck and it has like unique effects and you can like upgrade your cards to different effects as well. And basically you just find different ways to win the game of poker, but it completely turns everything on its head. So you can have like a two pair that's worth more than a royal flush, depending on what route you go. So I've been playing the shit out of that. I love that game. So that's kind of what I've been up to. Not many movies. Certainly no horror movies because I get my fill on this podcast.
I know. You don't like them. Okay. Got a lot going on.
They're okay. They're okay. As you know, Sid, some of them are okay.
Yeah.
But generally, Jesus Christ. Wow.
And Billy Madison is great, like, comfort food as a movie. Like,
there you go.
It is
just. Stop looking at me, Swan. Stop looking at me, Swan.
I go on first and clean the hair.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that the golf one, or is it the one where he goes back to school?
Back to school.
It's the one where he pisses his pants.
That's the pee pants one.
To make his friend look cool. Yeah, exactly.
I've seen him. It's just been a really long time.
Same. I mean, it had been like probably 10 years since I've seen that. You know, it not all of it holds up the way it did back in the day, but it,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I imagine.
If you're looking for some kind of quick 1.5 hour brain turn me off, there you go.
Ta-da!
Love it.
Perfect.
To prove to Dad that I'm
not a fool.
Back to school. Back to school.
Jack, how about you, Grant?
Jack.
Thank you, Sid.
Grant, what have you went up to?
A little aside, growing up, I had the Home Alone handheld recorder.
Yeah.
at one point, I stuck it up to the TV set and recorded lines from Billy Madison, and so we could just replay them. Because I think had one of his albums, his comedy CDs, where he had all of his sketches and bits and stuff. And so we were really into Adam Sandler at the time. And so we were recording lines from it. So there's a few lines I can quote endlessly because I've heard them hundreds of times in my childhood.
That sounds like you, Grant.
Yeah. What was the one? He's like, how about you, old man? You want some milk? I'd rather have a beer.
Yes. I love the game show announcer or whatever, the contest announcer, like,
oh yeah,
we are all stupider for hearing your answer.
Oh, like, well,
I simple no, you're wrong could have sufficed.
Glad I called that guy.
You owe everyone in the room $5.
Oh yeah, that's a classic. But no, I haven't. You know, honestly, my media intake has been very limited in the past couple weeks. But I will say on Halloween, I had to pull up some horror movies. So
obviously.
I didn't have access to a lot of ones I normally watch. And so the one I did have that was the closest I could find, I was like, I want a good Halloween slasher flick. Closest one I could find was Halloween Ends, which is like the 2002. 2022.
Where
they brought back
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis to reprise her her role. And I think they got the cop back too. There was another older actor that was like, he was someone. I couldn't remember who he was.
Like Billy Loomis.
Yeah.
No, honestly, not the Loomis.
It is. That's his name.
But God.
It's the cop Loomis. But no, and like as far as slashers go, it was pretty decent.
Yeah, like, I've seen
they
that one.
They've spent a lot of time making this cause story that's supposed to have these, you know, theatrical ties where it's this young kid and he accidentally kills this kid when he's babysitting him by like just full on like Spartan kicking a door open and knocks the kid head over ankles, you know, all the way down off this third story banister.
Whoops.
But then after that one accidental kill, he then stumbles upon Mike Myers living in the sewers and then accidentally kills a hobo. It's like this kid is just accidentally killing people left and right. And then he's like, well, now I want to learn, since I know Mike. I want to learn from the best how to actually kill people. It's like, what?
That's what he's good at.
He's got a taste for blood now.
He's like, man, I can do it without even trying. What if I actually tried?
I'm really good at this.
But
that's not something you should look for.
No.
Please not a good that. Hobby to pick up. Like, try knitting.
Please don't try knitting.
There's too many sharp needles. You're going to get the itch
knitting.
Again.
Wow. Jamie Lee Curtis stab him in the eyes with a...
I don't stab people. I just sit there and listen to my audiobook and knit things.
I find that hard to believe, Sid.
Shut the fuck up, Jack.
Okay.
Wait, put that needle down.
I'm going to stick a needle on my throat. Jesus.
I would never.
Yeah. So it was a good Halloween movie. It was just got me at least a little bit of the Halloween vibes going. So, yeah.
Nice. You know, I recently rewatched, do you guys remember The Haunting? Came out in like 99 with like Catherine Zeta-Jones and Luke Wilson and Liam Neeson's in it too.
What?
It's,
did you say The Haunting? Daughter.
Yeah, The Haunting. Mm. It's basically a take on The House on Haunted Hill by Shirley Jackson. Or The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson.
Okay.
But it's like,
I didn't see that. No.
First of all, it's very 90s, but it's so over the top and like it's this big haunted house and it's so pretty and fun and it's pretty bloodless. It's a good time if you want a haunted house scary movie that's not actually that scary. And I forgot how much fun it is. Yeah. I went on a date. My first date was that movie, actually, by the way. This was in like junior high. Yeah. And the boy I went on a date with was like worried because we were the same height. And he's like, you didn't wear heels, did you? Like, very insecure. Whatever. We're 13.
Oh, but, no.
Yeah. That little fucker broke up with me by email a couple months after that, by the way. So.
What a don't horror call him little.
That's going to hurt his feelings.
Oh.
You what?
I said, don't call him little. That's going to hurt his feelings.
Oh, me. I hope he stayed short.
Oh, my God.
He's got two fake legs now, so, yeah.
Yeah, he's got two fakes. I mean, we were 13. I don't even know what he looks like anymore, but the movie is a good time. So I recommend if you want, like, a nostalgia horror movie, like Haunted House movie kickback, check that one out.
Good stuff.
I did see Franz Ferdinand in concert.
Ooh, how was that?
It was good. Like, you know, I think they're Scottish, so they don't come to the U.S. very often. So mm-hmm. It was kind of a thing where I was like, well, you know, hey, you know, I know Take Me Out, great song, love it. Mm-hmm. Let's go see him. So they ended up being pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised by them. So
nice.
If
you get a chance, I know it's especially one of those bands that like you're going to see once every 10 years or something. I don't know how long when they recently came back here, but like if it's a band that doesn't tour often in the US, like do yourself a favor. It's good stuff.
That reminds me. I saw Garbage last week. My friend just popped into my office and was like, "Hey, I have an extra ticket if you want to see Garbage. I think it's their last US tour ever." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So she's like in her 60s. She's had two hip replacements and still put on a fucking killer show. So
nice.
Yay,
nice.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Good time.
Anytime you see that like last tour.
Yeah, you got to go.
You got to go. Even though it's, I would say half the time, it's just a way to get you buy the tickets. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong. I know Kiss had some disaster here recently, but like they would have a farewell tour every fucking year, and it's like you're tricking us every time. But like if you do see that and it's a band you want to see, go to it.
Yeah,
I know tickets are expensive, but like it's worth seeing bands the last time they come through before they actually break up or they're actually done. So
yes, she bought the ticket. I felt bad because she wouldn't let me pay her, so I bought her dinner. But yes, highly recommend. I agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Jack, this one made me think of you like historical. Recently, I just finished a book that like kind of kicked me out of my reading slump. It's called House of Monstrous Women. And it is by Daphne Fama, F-A-M-A. And it's set in like 1986, I think, in the Philippines. It's basically about these two families that come together and they have to play this game, and there's a lot of witchcraft and ritual, and like you have to evade the game. But it had a lot of like Filipino monsters and folklore and stuff like that, and it was really good. But it's also talking about the revolts in Manila in the 80s. I think it was like the Purple Revolution or the People's Revolution or something. And
People Power Revolution.
People Power Revolution, yeah. And I don't feel like I've read a lot of horror stories set in the Philippines, and it was really good. Oh. I really liked her writing style, and the history like sprinkled in made me want to learn more about the People's Revolution, People Power Revolution.
Okay. I will put it on my list here.
Sounds it was really good. I liked her writing
style. To all our Filipino listeners, magandang umaga.
There you go. Exactly what Grant said, unless he said something offensive, in which case we don't agree with him.
So that's...
What?
I was just saying good morning. I was just wishing you good morning.
There you go. Good morning.
And Sid, I will say you are responsible for getting me into like horror books, because I don't read a lot of those either.
Hell
well, The
yeah.
Hunger. We'll go The Hunter.
Yes, Hunger. We read that for book club years ago.
Yeah, that book was terrifying. It was basically the telling of this.
It's kind of like Amakatsu. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Amakatsu. It's a horror book about the Donner Party and kind of how it playing on how what actually happened to that party, but putting it in kind of a horror supernatural light.
Yeah.
Where they get, I guess I don't want to go too deep into what happens, but it's not good. It's terrifying. It's a pretty creepy book.
No doubt.
Yeah. That one, I feel like with horror books, it's hard to scare me. And that one had a scene in there that like legitimately scared me. I had to put the book down. So
yeah.
Amakatsu does really good historical horror, but I think The Hunger is my favorite. Also, Grant, I think you and I talked about The Fiend by her last episode.
Yeah.
So this is that same author.
I say Amakatsu was brought up last time. So
yeah.
You know, horror books, you know, slipping it in there.
Fan favorite. I don't know what that dance was. Sorry. Oh.
Everyone saw it.
Everyone saw it. By everyone, I mean you two. And you're stuck with me. So this is fucking stupid, but I wanted to read books, like horror books set on Halloween. So I'm reading a book right now called Dark Harvest. It's actually also another historical horror, weirdly. This one is set in 1963, and it's just small town mixed small townerville. It's called Dark Harvest by Norman Partridge, and it's basically every Halloween there is an October boy, which is a scarecrow with like a jack-o'-lantern head, and he comes to town with like a butcher's knife, and all the boys 16 and 18 have to try to kill him, and like that's your only way out. Otherwise, you're never allowed to leave the town. You have to kill the October boy. And then as the book progresses, you find out there's more behind the legend and what's really going on. So it's like small town, dark secrets, big scary like jack-o'-lantern monster, and it's got multiple POVs. So it's good. It's short, too. It's like maybe 200 pages.
That.
I thought it might. I thought it might. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Spooky stuff.
Yeah. Spooky stuff.
It's funny because I feel like this the Chompers episode is going to reveal how much I'm like, yeah, there's not a lot of horror going on in my life unless it revolves around the podcast. So it's.
But it doesn't have to be horror. It's basically just us talking about what we're getting into recently.
Sure.
Getting the audience a chance to know us behind the scenes.
Oh, God. The ultimate horror, knowing Jack.
Yeah. But like, it's nice to get different perspectives, because what Grant's going to talk about is different than what I'm going to talk about is different from what you're going to talk about.
Most certainly, yes.
Mm-hmm. See, and no, I was sitting here resisting, you know, saying he was an October boy, said see you later, boy. You know, I resisted that urge.
Well, you didn't, because you just fucking said it.
Well, I could only resist it for so long.
Thank you for your candor.
No, but I like that, like, when you get those, like, creepy, you know, spooky versions of, like, childhood games or stuff like that, like, you know there's something going to be going down.
Yeah. Well, that was the case in the House of Monstrous Women, too. Like, part of the folklore and the ritual is they have to play this game as children, and two people are Aswang. Aswang, like the monsters, and then two people have to hide, and they're the prey. But like, it's the games they played as kids are now real, and they're real monsters. So it is fun when they take like games and make them deadly stakes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I've been watching
deadly childhood games.
Right. Otherwise, I've been watching Shameless recently. Randomly got into that one.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't... Okay. It kept getting recommended, and I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And I have... So do you both know what the premise is for Shameless?
Yeah.
Not a bit.
Okay.
But, okay.
So it's...
It's a William man without shame.
Basically.
Pretty much.
Did you say yes. William H. Macy?
William H. Macy uh-huh. plays an alcoholic father, and he's got six kids, and he basically, like, he is the shittiest dude ever. Like, his escapades, at least in season one, are funny, but he's constantly, like, scheming and trying to get, like, money or get rich quick, just money for booze. So the oldest daughter, who is Emmy Rossum, who played the lead in Phantom of the Opera in, like, 2004, she's the oldest sibling, and she's trying to keep the house in order, and each episode is them doing some kind of weird, fucked up thing to keep their house moving, their life moving, and it's funny and fun so far while also being like, ugh. But I have a feeling because there's like 10 seasons that the tone is going to shift at some part. But for right now, it's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, okay. The oldest brother is the lead on the show The Bear, like Jeremy Allen White, who I think also just starred in the Bruce Springsteen movie.
Yeah, is Bruce Springsteen fans at all? Or
like some of the songs, I dated a guy who was really into him. Otherwise, I don't have like strong Bruce Springsteen opinions.
Yeah.
Are you?
Same. No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just being honest. Hey, man, that's what this is for. So
I don't care. Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
People can like whoever they want, but it doesn't do it for me. I don't know.
Fair. Although, you know.
The boss, right? That's about all my,
aware of his
my
work.
Knowledge of Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, he's the one they call the boss.
Which everyone loves their boss, so they gotta love him.
Anyways.
It's universally known.
Yeah.
Speaking of music, though, Florence and the Machine just released a new album on Halloween, and I'm so fucking excited. Yay!
Is Halloween there some spooky tracks? Is there some kind of...
I mean, it's Florence, so probably, but the title track is called, like, Everybody Scream, or I think that's what the album's called, so...
Don't mind if I do.
I'm excited. Hell yeah, Florence.
There, heck yeah.
She I got to see her in concert in voice. Portland a few years ago. Yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And you and I were talking last episode, Grant, about Yellow Jackets, and she does the song for that. She did like a version of Gwen Stefani's I'm Just a Girl or No Doubts, I'm Just a Girl.
Yeah.
And she made it her own, and it's so creepy and it's full of female rage, and I love it.
Nice. Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not heard of them. I'll have to check them out though.
Florence and the Machine?
Yeah.
No. I think you might. She's a real powerhouse, like Grant was saying. Yeah. I love her voice. It's incredible. Puts a lot
Does
of.
Does the machine
like,
ever do a solo act?
She puts a lot of.
Yeah, that silences the eye roll, everybody.
Uh huh. Every time, if you hear from me, it's usually me flipping one of them off at an eye roll.
We're used to that.
I don't know. She just puts a lot of like care and theatrics into her work, and I appreciate it. Anyways, right. Yes. Any video games you kids are playing? Aside from Jack's poker video game?
Besides Bellatro? That's pretty Bellatro. Much it. I mean, right now, I just haven't had a lot of time for him. But
Not much on that front. Nothing, at least, anything to write home about. I mean, still to me, I'm waiting to see if Claire Obscure takes the Game of the Year award. That one was kind of the surprise hit, kind of an unknown studio that had... A very, very good, very impactful story into it.
Mm-hmm.
To make a rhythm RPG game is it's not an easy task.
Yeah.
No, that sounds neat. I've heard of that game, and the rhythm part of it's really enticing to me. So it's really cool to hear like those underdog developers just come out of nowhere, like Vampire Survivors just come out and like just obliterate and like win the Game of the Year. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
I think the only other thing I've been up to, my video games are not there, but I have been playing D&D, and we are doing The Curse of Strahd, which is like set in this vampire world, which is a lot of fun.
Why am I not Who's surprised with that?
So, well, I didn't really know anything about the campaign. So I set up my character because we all have to have a reason for coming to this world. And so mine was like, I basically based it off Dracula. Like my character had a husband who was on business and he made it up to Dracula slash Strahd's castle and was like trying to sell him a thing. And Dracula slash Strahd was like, oh, I want that one, and like stole my husband. So I'm there to get my idiot husband back. So very Jonathan Harper vibes from the original Dracula. So there we go. Except the other players keep making fun of my fucking husband. So rude. My fake in-game husband. They're like, what an idiot.
You must be so offended.
Yeah, I do. I get mad at him. I'm like, you can't help it. Stop.
He got glamoured, guys. He can't help it.
Every time. I think I did yell at him last time. I'm like, stop. God.
It's not worms. It's biscotti.
Oh, I can't wait till we do that movie. That's a good one.
Okay.
That's from Lost Boys.
It's like a double reference.
Oh, you're right. And What We Do in the Shadows. Yes.
Slipping into biscotti.
You're right.
But it is also originally Lost Boys.
I like how I'm always like, it's the creepy one. And you're like, it's also the funny one. Right? It's also the funny one.
Why reference one movie when you can reference two?
Hooray! What else? Otherwise, I'm just watching all my Real Housewives because I love watching them. They're a train wreck and I love it.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. Not that I've seen them.
That would make me stupidly happy if you're like, yeah, actually, I've been watching it too.
Barbara?
Oh.
I don't know.
That would please me greatly.
Yeah, I won't be doing that anytime soon. So
I'm aware.
Yeah, that's why. Oh, I have been watching, it's called Tasting History with Max Miller. And he just basically will talk about historical meals. Like one is like what troops ate at D-Day, or like what the German home front ate during World War II, or what soldiers ate during World War I. And he talks about the history of it, and then he makes the dish and he kind of reviews it. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Okay. That's fun. Yeah, it's on YouTube or?
Yes, YouTube.
Nice. I like stuff like that. There's a guy I follow on TikTok who for a while was making like what President, you know, Hoover ate in a day, or what like that's the first lady. Yeah. And it's fun. But your son's, because he just talks about what they had and then like we'll eat the meal and film himself eating it. But yours sounds more history involved. So
what's it called? Tasting History with Max Miller.
Cool.
And it's like very informative. And like he does a very good job of presenting it. You know, it's not just making crepes and then be like, oh, it was pretty good. Like he goes into the history of it. Like why certain meals were made because of lack of resources or ration. Mm. So it's always interesting to hear that historical context for that. So
yeah,
that's it's cool. Like when back when lobster was prison food. So like
what?
No one wanted to eat lobsters.
Really?
You know, decades and hundreds of years ago. So they're like, well, this crap came out of the ocean. You can still eat it. Here you go. Have some lobster.
That's crazy.
We don't want this. We only eat cows around here.
And then look where we're at now. You know, it's like a delicacy. Or it can be.
They're like, you know, we don't want any ocean spiders. Here, you eat all this crap.
Here. I recently went to London and they were talking about on one of the tours that they use the color red a lot because it was like the cheapest to make, even though we associate it now with like this bold, brave color. I think it was either red or purple, but like this big, brave, like royal color. And it's like, it was just the cheapest to make. Huh. Okay.
Interesting. Wow, that sounds too human. Nah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
They're like, right, we'll just make it fancy. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Force it.
What supplies they had and just wrap a little white lie around it and make it
exactly.
Sound.
They're like, oh, no, it's rich people stuff now. You guys can have it. Bye.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Wooden teeth are all the rage, says the people losing their teeth left and right.
God, the wooden teeth.
Wood to throw up in there.
So nasty. Yeah. Wouldn't you get like splinters in your mouth? Like you'd be constantly cutting your tongue.
Yeah, but you could bite a vampire to death.
So, oh, no. Got her.
Ta-da. Got her. Problem solved.
Ooh, or you could make little steaks.
That's right. Oh, yeah, you're right. Little steaks. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like it. I like it.
Be like Humpty, except for teeth instead of a nose.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a reference few people will get. You're welcome.
Hooray. I didn't get it. I just played along with it.
Oh, he was in a scary movie, too, with his wooden nose.
Who?
Humpty. Humpty. He's spelled like, with the umpty. Yeah, he tells you how to spell his name in his song.
What movie are you referencing, Grant?
The Humpty Dance is your chance. Do the hump, do the Humpty hump.
Yeah, but I don't know what movie you're talking about.
He was in some scary movie. No, no.
Hmm. Okay.
It might take me a minute to find that because it's going to give me all this curse of Humpty
Dumpty. It's so obscure.
Uh-huh.
It was. It was like early 90s, maybe late 80s. I don't know. It was.
Huh.
Oh, God. It was 90s. Sid should know what it is.
I know. I'm like, now I'm mad at myself. Dumb. Dumb. Come to our next Chompers episode with your Humpty obscure reference ready.
I know, right? I'm on Shock G Digital Underground Rap Group.
What up? Well, no. While you're looking for that, it is officially soup season, and I have been making the best fucking soups because they're so good for meal prep. I recently made chicken, onion, garlic, dill, lemon, orzo, and a couple of other sauces, and it just keeps for the whole week, and I'm so soup season is back. Fall is the best time. I love it.
I'm a soup in the summer guy. I'll eat soup anytime.
Really?
It is okay. It is particularly good in the winter, obviously, because it warms you up. But, like, I will eat. Like, I love
you'll go down.
Pho. Pho is delicious. Yes. I'll eat that anytime.
Pho is so good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mostly a winter treat, but I'll eat it in the summer, too, if I have to.
That's valid. Pho and ramen are always good.
Yes.
I think that's all that's been new with me recently. Although, Leigh Bardugo just announced the third book in her Ninth House trilogy. So you've got Ninth House and then Hellbent, and then the next book is coming out next year. And she takes like 4 years between each book. I've been rereading. I never reread, but I've been listening to her the first two books on audio while I knit, which has been really nice to get back into that world. I missed it.
A fan of the other ones, I assume?
The Hellbent and Ninth House?
Yeah.
Or her other books?
Well, that series specifically, but I guess there are other books.
Yeah.
Too.
I really love those too. I think I also read Language of Thorns by her, which was like short stories, which is also really good. I don't know if I've read any of her other books. She did a lot of like YA, like she's the Six of Crows author and a lot of those books, but I haven't read those. But this is like dark academia mixed with ghosts. And then there's also a couple trips to hell. So it's a good blend of like.
Ooh.
Dark like academia and horror. Yeah. She does good characters. I like her a lot.
I have not read anything by her, but I might have to get into that.
I think you'd like those two. I can't speak for the other ones, but those two books, Ninth House is the first one. I would give it a try.
Okay.
Plus, like, her main protagonist is, it starts off with Alex Stern, who, like, gets accepted to Yale, but it's because she can see ghosts, and like they have this secret society where the people who can see ghosts have to protect the other secret societies, but she's definitely like a high school dropout. She was found at a drug scene, so she's not really supposed to be there, and the guy she's mentoring with is very much like brought up in that world, and he's very doe-eyed and eager to lead her along the path. So I don't know, it's very good. I like
all right.
Nothing but trouble for anyone who's interested.
Okay. Nothing But
Nothing
Trouble.
Nothing But Trouble's a 1991 comedy horror film that had Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, Chevy Chase, and Demi Moore.
Whoa.
Okay. That's probably why I didn't see it.
It also had Shock G of Digital Underground with Tupac Shakur also making a guest appearance in the movie.
What?
Really?
So,
okay.
And a guest performance. So they do a little musical number, and they also have small little bit roles in it. But yeah, with Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, and yeah, it's quite a
Maybe we need to review this movie.
And John Candy. So.
Sounds nice.
I've never heard of that. That's funny.
Bizarre, financially bankrupt Hamlet of Valkenvania.
What the fuck?
And a 106-year-old judge played by Dan Aykroyd.
Okay.
It's a movie. It's a something.
It's a movie. Awesome.
9 out of 10 critics agree it's a movie.
It is, in fact, a movie. I like the 10th critic who's like, no.
1 out of 10. Yeah, exactly.
It's not it.
It's got to be Siskel.
Probably. All right, well, I don't think I have anything else unless y'all do.
That's pretty much it for me. I don't really, it's not a lot of media consumption on my end, but I will try to branch out for this.
You had plenty of stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, we
each
talked about different things. People watch YouTube all the time. Bring your YouTube content. Love it.
So much. Yeah.
That's right. That's why it's a chomper, because they're shorter.
Yeah. It's just a chomp.
Chomp, chomp, baby.
Chomp, chomp, baby, tonight. I just want to join in the song.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. That was good. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Please let us know what you think. You can reach out to us at finalfempodcast@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at finalfempod. Otherwise, you can rate and review us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and we will see you next time. Bye, friends.
See you soon. Later.